Exactly, just a few minutes, which is why I have notes to keep myself on track, because I know, Pastor Asia, you're speaking, right? So I don't want to take from that. So as you know, yes, I'm Erica, for those of you who don't know me, because we have some new faces. And I have a really big heart for missions, evangelism, teaching, ministry through the arts. You've seen me do mime and dance over the years. But really, missions here, missions abroad, that has been like my heart. And about 3 years ago, we know what happened 3 years ago, but before the big thing happened, the Lord gave me an opportunity to go with YWAM over to Australia and Papua New Guinea to get mission training. And I was on my way, not in the plane yet, but I was 4 weeks away from going, and then the pandemic hit, and a lot of our plans changed. It wasn't just mine. Everybody's plans kind of got thrown out the window, and we really didn't know when travel was going to start again. We didn't know what things were going to look like. And I found myself, because I had given up my business, because the Lord said, you're going. It was going to be a six-month thing. So I was like, oh, I need a job to pay my bills, Lord. So you knew, Lord, that the pandemic was going to happen. You knew I was headed this way. And the Lord dropped the word Walmart. And I'm like, oh, I would have never picked that. But okay, Lord. So for 6 months, I was in Walmart working. You probably saw me. And I did love my job. And I got to minister to a lot of people that had that not happened. And I don't know that I ever would have had those opportunities. So the Lord is so good. He knows where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there. And also when the enemy, when it looks like God's not coming through, or the enemy's getting in there and shuffling things, the Lord knows more, right? The Lord has us, and it may look like that in the moment, but then when you look back, you're like, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you allowed it. And so after those 6 months, I opened my business back up again. The Lord was like, okay, it's time to leave, time to go back. And I'm like, okay. And now I've just been praying for the last couple of years. Lord, where is it that you want me to be? I'm willing to stay here. I'm willing to serve here. But when you show me what's next, what's the next opportunity, show me where I'm supposed to go. And I really didn't know until about a couple months ago. And was actually out in Missouri in June with my sister and my nephew, and we're out there taking him to a camp, and just started really spending a lot of time with Lord. Okay, Lord, what is this? And I knew he was on to something. And we went to International House of Prayer. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they have a missions base in Missouri. They have a 24/7 prayer room. And that is also where, if you know, my younger sister and brother went to school for a time. And just really great place. But they also do mission internships. And there's a three-month one that I just sat on and prayed for a while. And then I went through the application process. It's a really, it's a long thing to do. You can't just, oh, here's my money and sign up. You know, it's a big process. And so about 3.5 weeks ago or so, I was accepted to go and started fundraising and all that great stuff. And so I'm actually, the bad news is I'm leaving you next Friday. So you won't see me for a little bit, but the good news is that I'm excited to go and get some training to possibly bring back here to add more to this body, expand my territory for a little bit. And now the question is probably going to be, so what are you doing out there? What are you doing for 3 months? Why is it three months, you know? What are you doing out there? Okay, well, the first honest answer is I kind of know, but I don't know. I kind of know in the sense that I have been told that I will be doing a lot of hours in the prayer room. I will be put in leadership positions to train. I'll be teaching. I'll also be doing a couple classes where I'm learning. I'm being trained. They have a teens ministry, children's ministry. They do evangelism on the streets. They have a lot of different things that they do. So the other part of that answer is that I know that I will probably be in all of that in some way, and I just don't know really. I'm going in obedience to the Lord calling me. And so whatever they tell me to do, whether that's cleaning toilets like I've already been doing in my business, Or, because I'm really good at that, or if it's actually stepping out and teaching, or I'm bringing my mime gear and all that stuff, you know, if the Lord, if I'm partnered with their arts team to put specials together, I really don't know. But the good thing is that I'm going to keep y'all updated, so you'll know month to month what's going on, taking pictures, showing, keeping you, just keeping you in the loop about what's happening. And so that's what I'll be doing. And then just wanted to say also that they have a really big heart for not just like training missionaries, but intercessory missionaries. Prayer is such an important thing in this house. It's an important thing in their house. They also have a church called Forerunner Church, normally way ahead of where others are. Like we think about John the Baptist proclaiming the way of the Lord. This house also has a heart for that, a heart to train and then send out. And whether you go out for a while and then you come back and you're here, or you go out and you're gone, and then you come back and visit, whatever that is, I have seen the Lord raise us up in this house, and the things that the heart of this church has happened, and it is happening. And so, another thing I would like to present to you is I have raised about close to 30% of my funds needed to go. And I've got about 8,000 left to go, but I'm believing the Lord, however he stirs you. You know, this isn't a pressure or anything. This is just an opportunity. I'm believing the Lord for 27 people for either a one-time gift of $300 or $100 a month. Sometimes it's easier to think of a goal when it's a month than it is in one big lump sum. But however the Lord leads, if at all, I will be here afterwards, but I know that sometimes we all like to rush out. We're hungry, you know, we're ready to go eat lunch, so I understand that. So if you want to just text me or call me if you're interested, and if the Lord's leading you and stirring you, my number is 863-244-1297. So, and also, again, I'll be here for a little while afterwards, but I have a what's called a Give, Send, Go page. And on that page, you can see my progress. You can see all my updates up until now. You'll be able to see that while I'm gone. It also has a place for you to give online. But also, if you're not really comfortable with the online thing and you're like, you know, Erica, the Lord's just telling me here's the cash, here's the check, I can also, on that site, update my offline donations too. So that's really neat as well. So that's all. So thank you.
All right, reach out your hands and let's just believe and bless her that everything God has for her, right, will come to pass, and the finances will be there and everything. So.
We believe in sending, you know. We send them out. You know, we'd rather they be boomerangs, but sometimes they stay out there. But whatever the Lord has, Father, we just thank you for Erica. Thank you for her heart. Father, thank you for all the preparation up to this point that you have made in her, in every aspect of her being. And Father, you have placed those desires in her heart. Now, Father, we pray that those things can be finally tuned up, Lord, so that she can fulfill your plan and your purposes in this immediate future. And Father, we pray for health, provision, protection, your guidance. And Father, may she have an open spirit to receive all you have for her that she needs to learn for this season. And Father, that she would be prepared, Father, to go forth and do what you have called her to. Father, we pray that all the leadership, Father, would be attentive to her needs. And Father, that she would be able to put in places where she can not only learn but practice those things that you want her to ultimately perform for your glory and honor and for the good of your people. So, Father, we bless her. Yes. We thank you, and we pray that these 3 months would be very productive in her spiritual walk. Yes. And, Father, that she would attain those areas of maturity that you want to bring up, Father, that she may be the vessel that you've called her for such a time as this. Yes. So, Father, we send her forth with your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you. God bless. We have a special guest today. It's my wife.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God always likes to stretch. Amen. So you can all stretch if you're like, oh, okay. And we're already being in the presence of the Lord. So what can I add? Not that much, right? What I'm going to bring is just the word of the Lord, what God has put in my heart in 10 minutes. No, hopefully it won't keep you too long. Amen? All right. Glory to God. I heard something this morning. It's not an original, but I think it is so, it impacted me this morning. We usually, when we get ready in the morning, we see a lot of on TV, TBN. There's some awesome preachers and teachers. And he was describing about the Lord is my shepherd, right? We know that. Jesus is the good shepherd. And he was talking at the time where the shepherd at that time took care of the sheep. They will have a place where they'll bring the sheep at night and to put them in. And it was like a fence made out of stone. There was not such thing as a door. That's a Western thing. There was no door in that sheep hole, like they call it. But the shepherd would lay in on the threshold, on the door. He was the door, the shepherd. And, you know, Jesus say, I am the door. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so he would lay down as the door and watch the sheep. So in order to something to come and attack the sheep, they had to go through the shepherd. Isn't that cool? And so we can relate to that. In order for the enemy to come to attack you, we'll have to go through our good shepherd. Isn't that great? For he is the door. And no one comes to the Father but through him. And so that protective, right? No one comes out, no one comes in. And I thought, oh, that impacted me. I say, I'm so glad that my Lord just stands, right? My shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he lays his life, right? And he watches all the time. So that was free. Isn't that good? I thought that was very, very impactful. Let's go to 1 Kings 18:21. I'm going to try to bring the message that I feel the Lord wants us to see and to receive today and to, Lord, guide us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you open our understanding, that we have ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And Lord, I just thank you so much, Father, for your word and what you want us to know. So I need my glasses. I should have memorized the whole thing, right? I don't know. Okay, 1 Kings, let's go to chapter 18. And I'm going to go through Elijah. I'm going to be talking. Elijah was a prophet of God. We know Elijah. We're familiarized with Elijah. And Elijah was a mighty prophet of God in the time of Israel, where Israel was being very disobedient to God. And so that God, Elijah summoned the people of Israel, and he make a charge, right? He say, you know what? You know, he's talking to the people that they have gone, a lot of them, after the prophet of Baal, which that is the false prophet, and Satan and all that, right? The people were really not serving the Lord. Here comes Elijah and Stan, and he makes a charge, and he say, choose this day, right, who you going to, you know. So you are in a valley of decision, right? Let's see how he said it. Let's go on chapter 18. And we'll go to 19. And 18:21, and say, and Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? Do we have two opinions today in the United States and in the world? Is there two opinions? Right. This was a long time ago, but we can relate, right? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if it's Baal, Satan, right? Evil one, follow him. But the people answer him not a word. Okay, this is the challenge. There comes the prophet of God. There's two choices, right? Two decisions. Then Elijah said to the people, I'm alone and left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are 450 men. Now picture this. There's 450 false prophets of Baal. And so he put this challenge, just bring two bulls, right? Make an altar. Cut the bull in pieces. Put it in there. And I'll do the same. And I'll tell you what. The answers by fire, that's the right God. That's the true God, right? What a challenge. So the Baal worshipers and the Baal, they look at it and they go, sure. Why not? Not a problem. So they did it. They cut it up. They start crying out to their God. And let me tell you, they believe in that God. They believe in Baal. They were committed. They put it right there. The Bible says they start crying out for the God, for Baal, to answer with fire. So the sacrifice was put. Everything was done. They needed the fire. It's going to come from heaven. And so the Bible talks over and over. Read this whole chapter. Then they cry out. They start in the morning and noon. They cry out to God. And they got desperate. And they start cutting themselves and bleeding. Were they committed? You see, the world believe in what they believe. I mean, you talk to everybody who has an opinion, right? And they are sold out to that. Are we as sold out to the Lord as the world is to their mindsets and their belief? They were all sold out. They bled. And here you hear Elijah kind of mocking them a little bit, right? Hey, maybe he's taking a nap, right? Oh, cry louder. He can't hear you. And they are doing, I mean, they're desperate. They're crying out. And so there comes, they did everything they could. Nothing happened. There comes Elijah, prophet of God. And then he's praise to his God. Cut it off and say, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the woods and the stone and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. That's 1838. Wow. Do you imagine? It was shish kabob. Did you imagine standing there? Your audience is 450 Baal prophets. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they say, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophet of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook. Kishon executed them. Glory to God. Awesome. The end. Ha. Huh? Wonderful. Listen, with an experience like that, don't you think Elijah would have been just like, woohoo, right? He was for a little bit. Until the queen, there was an evil queen named Jezebel. You know, that was the queen at the time. But there's a spirit of Jezebel, too, that is still rampant to this day. It was the king Ahab married to Jezebel. Ahab went to Jezebel, his wife, and said, told her everything that had happened. And she got angry. One woman, I want you to see this. And then she decided to take matters in their hand. In 19:2 say, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, Elijah saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left all his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Oh, okay. One person said the wrong thing. God gives us victory. God answers our prayer. God heals our body. God provides for us. And then someone doesn't appreciate us. The enemy gets mad. And he comes and whispers, and we cow down. We what? Withdraw immediately. It's almost like if we don't have 100% of praises of people, and oh, you poor, you're doing so good, we crumble. You will think that with a magnitude of the demonstration of the power of God, like Elijah stood, that one opinion of one woman will not be. Listen, that spirit is still working. How many times the Lord brings breakthrough in our life? We pray, we stand, we are in darkness, we don't feel good, and God comes through, and you got victory, and you praise the Lord, and you go, wow. And you know that it is the hand of God. You know that you know that what the doctor said is contrary to what you're feeling. Amen? And God gave you victory. And Satan always steps up to steal your joy. And to steal. And look what Elijah does. He goes to the wilderness. And not only he goes to the wilderness, he's down and out, right? He goes away, but God, and let me say something. God understands where we are. He loves us so much. He heals us, he provides for us, and then we get down because things are not quite the way we thought. So he comes along. The Spirit of the Lord don't leave us. He is so gentle, so kind, so merciful, so giving. That he comes where we are and he comforts us. He did it with Elijah. Look at the next. So Elijah runs, 5 says, then as he lay asleep under a broom tree, he's in the wilderness, he's running away, he's scared, he's intimidated. Get that word. We get intimidated by the enemy, right? How many times we even have healing, but in the back of our mind is, oh, I hope I don't get sick again. I am saying it, but I don't know. Or financially, money comes and you pay and you go, yeah, but what about next month? What about it? We all fall into that, right? And so you see the hand of God. So he runs away. He's in distress. And then 6 say, then he looked and there by his head was a cake bake on coals in a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. God sent an angel to feed him. Isn't that a good God? So God is not getting on to him. Do you notice? God is not saying, what? Didn't I just brought fire down from heaven? What more do you want? You want to be next? Right? Any of us will think like that. I can't believe that you'd be so ungrateful. Watch what he does. He sent an angel. He feeds him. And he eats it, and he goes to bed. We can pout, too, to the Lord, right? Because that's not what I want. But yet, the mercy of the Lord. And then again, when you read it again, He comes down, the angel comes for the second time and sustain him some more. And then he goes to the cave. I mean, you would think he will get strong and come, right? And say, okay, should have a VA. The Lord's with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the comfort. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for being here. No, he went to the cave. And if I'm going to put a title to the message today, is get out of the cave. Get out of the cave. So he runs to the cave. I'm going to hide. And then God comes and he asks him, what are you doing there? Nine say, and there he went into the cave and spent the night in the place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing? Why are you so cast down, O my soul? And why are your spirit disquiet within you? Right? We all been there. Run to the cave. And so when he asked him, this is how he answered. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophet with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. I've been going to church. I've been giving. I've been doing children's church. Lord, I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I've been trying to witness. I told my family about you, Lord. I've been doing all this, and this is happening? Can you relate? And we withdraw, because all of a sudden, we feel like God is not helping me. No matter what he has answered, right? So Elijah's not different. How many of us are like Elijah? All my life I have served the Lord. I go to church. I went to church. I don't know what else to do. I read my Bible. I say my prayers. I give my tithe. And then this is happening. Elijah's no different. And so you don't see the Lord coming, oh, you poor, poor thing. That's right. God takes him into a journey and says, stand in the mountains. And all there, a wind came, an earthquake came, but the voice of the Lord was not there. The Bible said the earthquake, saw the God in the earthquake, in the fire at the end, seeking God in the mountains. But it was in that what? Still, soft voice, which is the Holy Spirit. And by the way, we are teaching on Wednesday about the Holy Spirit. There's so much. It's not just the gift, but it's so much about the Holy Spirit. Pastor George gave 12 pages, 18 pages of scriptures about the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes we come to the Holy Spirit and we think that it's just the gift. What can we get? And all those are good. He's given the Holy Spirit give us gift to minister to one another, but he's so much more than that. You may know about the Holy Spirit, but do you know the Holy Spirit? Amen? Do you really know him? Right? And so here God's telling him, Elijah say, I heard God in that still voice. You see, each one of us have that still voice in us. It's called the Holy Spirit, which is speak to us in a very personal way. And when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, it's that voice and the Spirit of God that rises in us to help us to stand and get out of the cave. You see, hiding away, taking yourself out of the body of Christ is not going to help you. That spirit of Jezebel still wants to intimidate all of us. And want us to refrain from what we know we need to do. But the flesh likes to go to caves and hide. And I'm here to tell you, the Lord don't want you to stay there. He wants you to get out. Listen
to the voice, to the still voice. Amen?
Glory to God. Let's go back.
So it was when Elijah, that's 13, I'm in 19:13. So it was when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face on his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. I'm getting closer to get out of the cave, but I'm going to stay in the dark. I refuse to get out. I'm almost out, but I'm not going out. So that's what he's doing. After hearing God say, I'm in that still voice talking to you. Get out. Suddenly a voice came to him and say, again, what are you doing here? And then he comes again with the same thing. You see, I want here to remind you that he sees your work. He sees what you do. The sacrifice that you make. The time you spend to intercede and pray for others. He sees it. Men may not see it, but God sees it. The Spirit of the Lord will reward you. He is faithful. He guides us. He gives us signs. He pulls us gently because he loves us so much. When things do not go good, please try to remember and get out of the cave and listen where he wants you to be. So the enemy likes you to feel bad about yourself. What about me? What about what I have done? Don't go there. That Elijah did it again. And so we see that after that, God gives directions to Elijah. Again, you don't hear God going, oh, yes, I understand, poor thing. No, because he knows. And then he tells him to anoint a prophet that was going to take his place, Elisha. Get out, okay, just go and anoint the next mighty prophet. And then you read it, and he did. I'm not saying that Elijah's ministry came to an end because God took Elijah, so Elijah's okay. I just want you to identify yourself with certain attitudes and behavior that we do that God don't want you to go there. And after he gave it all that, he goes, 18, God speak to him after he say, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to go and minister, I want you to go and ask forgiveness, I want you to forgive, I'm going to say that again, I want you to forgive. No, I'm going to power, I'm going to stay here. You don't understand, God, what they have done to me. I've been so good. I've been giving. And now you want me to what? The Lord said, yes, I want you to forgive, just like I forgive you, right? Walking free and all that. And then God goes, 18, yet, like, as a matter of fact, I have resourced 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Voila. So Elijah was, well, how about me? I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Isn't the enemy trying to make you feel that? I'm the only one to pray. I'm the only one to give. I'm the only one to go. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. When you start feeling like that, know that it's not God. And you need to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Why is always I'm the one that have to be nice and kind? Well, because God made you like that. How about God, right? Does he change? Thank God he doesn't. He gives and gives and gives. But look how God turned around to Elijah and said, oh, by the way, I got all these thousands. You're not what? The only one. Glory to God. So I pray you get encouraged and know that when you got all those things coming against you and you're disappointed and discouraged, right? Elijah was very discouraged. I pray that you don't withdraw into the cave. I pray that you remember that he knows where you are. And the same God that answered with fire, don't you think would have been the same God that would have protected Elijah against one woman? Now, she was powerful. I know that, right? Jezebel, don't you hear that? But that spirit is still hovering. You see, that spirit of Jezebel hate prophetic churches. Hate the prophetic word. Hate those that hear the still voice of God. That spirit don't want you to have a relationship with the Lord where you see, you hear, you know, you walk. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And though if I walk through the valley of the shadow, that I will what? Fear no evil. Yes, I'm going through a hard time. But praise God, he will see me through. He will answer. He's the God that cannot fail. He's the great God, Jehovah. He's worthy to be praised. He's the one that will take us over anything that the enemy has put in our way. Isn't that good? To serve a God like that? Love it. Testimony time. I've been real sick for over a year, and I thank God and thank you for all of you that been praying. To the point that I was saying, Lord, physically, this is not quality life. Have you ever been there? I'm sure. I mean, really, and they give me some stuff that I have that is incurable, according to them and all that. Long story short, well, it's not short, because you have to live day by day, hurt, feeling like you're dying, right? And plowing through. And so I start confessing the word of God, and I was like in 5 different medications and all that. And you know, I came to like Elijah, okay? Decision. Taking all that medication and feeling so sick, I decided, I don't recommend this to anybody, okay? That's my walk, okay? I don't want to. But I decided I drop all, just about all the medications and take a leap of faith. And every morning I woke up, and even when I was in bed so sick, I would confess the word of God over and over about healing. And so, glory to God, all the symptoms have disappeared. Isn't that great? I went and had a whole whatever they wanted. I went to a surgeon. The surgeon wanted to do surgery. The surgeon did surgery. And did all kinds of tests too. I've been feeling great, even without medication. I'm giving God the glory. Went to see what the surgeon have. Of course, he you know, kind of suggested that to do surgery in my stomach is major. I won't bother you with the details. But this is the thing. Out of his mouth, he turned to me and said, you know what? You look so good. You're feeling so good. You know what? I think you're going to be okay. How about if we don't do surgery? I say, oh, praise God. Yeah. I say, I look at him and I say, yes, I do feel great. God is so good, you know. I got healing, and I believe it's my. And then he's a surgeon, so he looks at me, he goes, you know, I'm very disappointed. This is not what I want to do, right? He's a surgeon. But isn't that awesome? Out of the mouth of a surgeon, I mean, he could have just. So I declare glory to God that I'm healed. Thank you again for your prayers, for intercession. I know the Lord have put me in your heart, and you pray, intercede. Amen. Getting out of that cave, right? It took me a while. I was in that cave for a month, not wanting to go anywhere. And saying things like, the Lord, you have called me, and those that you call, you equip. I have to be counseling. I have to do that. And I'm so sick. Meow, 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 right? Meow, meow, meow. And it's almost like the Lord said, I see you. Avatar, no. I see you. I know where you are. Amen? So it took a while. Let's all stand. I pray you're encouraged. When you sense that you want to retreat, I pray you won't. I pray you get out. I pray you put that mantle down. I pray you put that step out of the cave and say, Lord, as for me and my house, we're going to go forward. Amen? So what? Nothing is impossible. God is with you. He loves you. He wants you to stay encouraged. So I'm going to say a prayer. But listen, I'm going to rebuke the devourer in the name of Jesus, because some of you are so discouraged. I feel, you know, just like Elijah was. And God in his mercy fed them, okay? God in his mercy fed them and cover them. Cover him. And then ask him. So he is covering you. So we're going to come. It's and that spirit of Jezebel too, right? That intimidation. It's two things. Discouragement and intimidation. How about we cut it today? Cut it from your life, your family, your marriage, your children, your ministry, right? Let's cut those two things out. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, and according to your word and your power, we break that spirit of discouragement. We command it to go in the name of Jesus. You have no place in the lives of the saints of God. We break discouragement in the name of Jesus right now. Go. In Jesus' name. No more discouragement. Help us, Lord, to go through things with you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, take authority of the spirit of intimidation that comes from the enemy to intimidate us and push us back. We come against you in the name of Jesus. Command, go! Go in Jesus' name. We will not be intimidated and we will not be discouraged. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. And we receive your freedom. Lord, forgive us for the time we run to the cave, knowing that you want us out of there. Oh, that cave sometimes can get comfortable. Me in the cave. We rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We don't belong in the cave. We belong out there. And may you continue, Lord, to show yourself strong in our behalf. And Father, that our testimony will not fall to the ground, that we can witness and testify of your goodness. I bless your people, and I thank you, Lord. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everyone say amen. Just be blessed. Anyone needs prayer, or if you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ today or rededicate life, we're here. So don't leave without it. God bless you. See you Wednesday.